News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
I'm Taoiseach Simon Harris from Fine Gael's Think Inn in Tullamore, County Offaly. Good morning to you, Taoiseach.
Good morning, Ciara.
Can we start first of all and discuss budgetary matters? It would appear to me from things we have heard you say over the last number of days that Fine Gael is looking to align itself with struggling families. Would that be a fair assessment?
I think that would be a fair assessment. I suppose I'd put it this way, that while our economy is going well, and there's no doubt about that, inflation is falling, that's also factually true, that I'm still meeting a lot of people around the country who are struggling to make ends meet, people who are playing by the rules, working hard, doing everything they possibly can and still find it hard to pay the bills. And also people like carers, people with a disability and pensioners who are on fixed incomes, who still find that the benefit of falling inflation has yet to reach their home. Okay. And I want to see how we can make some progress for those people in 3 weeks' time.
This sounds very much like this is going to be a one for everyone in the audience, a kind of an election-earing budget. IFAC have criticised the government for that kind of approach, breaking your own spending rules repeatedly. What about the fact that you're talking about things like supporting people with energy? We know fuel prices are falling. We know inflation is below 2%. Why are you doing this?
So firstly, we haven't done anything yet and we haven't made any decision in relation to energy. And when we talk about supporting people with energy, that can include things like fuel allowance. There's many people who live in fuel poverty in Ireland. There's still many people who fear of putting on the heating in the evening and instead put on the coat. So there are real people who live in fuel poverty and significant evidence to show that. The Irish Fiscal Advisory Council has an important role to play. So do I. I have to not just run an economy, but also run a society, and a society in which there is still a need to make decisions to try and help people get through the winter period and the time ahead. But can I also say this, that IFAC makes its comments at a time where this government that I lead will set aside billions of euro into funds for the future. So this is not a government of, because I have it, I'll spend it. This is actually a government that will make targeted interventions, will give some people a small bit of their own money back. It's not a gift from the government.
You have said there will be universal and targeted measures, though. So there will be some universal measures.
Of course there will. And I think that's quite important, because I think people who, you know, pay their taxes and contribute to everything might expect the government to give them a little bit of their own money back as well. But there'll also be a range of targeted measures to those most in need. But all of this needs to be seen in the context, Ciara, of being one of the only countries in the European Union to have a budget surplus, to be able to set aside billions of euro to invest in infrastructure, more money on capital, 15 billion than there has been in very, very, very many years. So yes, we won't apologise for giving people a little bit of a helping hand with their own money at a time when the country actually is running economic surpluses.
Okay, and you have said that there will be reductions to tax too. What kind of reductions? Income tax?
Well, remember, if you don't reduce tax at a time when incomes are rising, people actually end up paying more tax. So in many countries, the indexation of tax takes place automatically. That doesn't happen in Ireland. We've outlined in our summer economic statement that there'd be 1.4 billion euro available for tax measures. I'd like to see that look at three things. I'd like to see it look at the rate at which people enter the higher rate of tax. I think it's utterly unfair that if you get a pay rise, if you work a few extra hours, if you get a promotion, do a bit of overtime, you end up with the government taking more of your money on a reasonable income, you know. Secondly, I think the USC, we still need to look at the burden of that. And thirdly, I am concerned around things to do with inheritance tax. More and more and more, I see when we live in a country where house prices have gone up and inheritance thresholds haven't, I do meet families who find real challenge in relation to the inheritance and having to actually sell the family home.
It does sound from what you're saying, we keep hearing we need to broaden our tax base. It sounds from what you're saying there that we're going to be narrowing it.
No, being honest, I have no proposals to narrow the tax base at all, because what I'm talking about is making sure that people enter the higher rate of tax at a higher point, and indeed changing the thresholds at which people pay inheritance tax. Now, these are all matters for budget day, but you're asking me what my party's priorities are, and they're in that space.
All right.
And in many ways, look, this is a similar formula to the one we used last year. There'll be about 1.8 billion for extra spending measures, about 1.4 billion for tax measures. And then there'll be significant money to set aside for a fund for climate and a fund for infrastructure.
You're talking about your own party's policies. One of the things that has been flown this week, as a kite, is around childcare and early learning, that this will become a more predominantly state-delivered service. Mm. We had Sinn Féin on the programme this morning saying that their policy is that they're going to offer access to everyone who wants it to childcare for a tenner a day. That would be quite the vote catcher, I would imagine, for a lot of struggling families.
Well, look, the question in politics is always show me how, tell me how you're going to do it.
They said it's going to cost them 328 million euros.
Good. And look, when they publish their policy, we'll obviously read it, consider it, and I'd be happy to talk about it again. I'd obviously rather talk about my approach in relation to this. We have transformed early childhood education in this country. We have children now who can access 2 free years of preschool education. It's had a hugely positive effect, but we are quite frankly still too reliant on the private market. You know, we have made big bold decisions in the past around primary education, around secondary education, that have transformed Ireland for the better. What I'm saying at our thinking is, I now want the next big step to be around childcare. There are too many parents, particularly disproportionately women, who find themselves unable to work despite wishing to work. And this is an economic issue. It's a social issue. We have school buildings that lie idle in the evening. We plan to build new primary schools and don't build childcare facilities beside them. The state has to be more interventionist. And the argument can't just be cost, it has to be accessed.
No, and I totally agree, Taoiseach. But one of the things is when you talk about early education, you're talking about people who have, and people do use it for childcare. I mean, it is an educational system, but if people use it for childcare, that their children are being minded elsewhere, they can go off and do something. You're talking about giving people 3 hours a day, 9 to 12, 10 to 1. That doesn't really facilitate people going back to work. That's actually very restrictive. Is there not a better way that people can access childcare from 8 until 6 or something that they actually need?
Yeah, that's the point. So, I mean, I want to develop a public model of childcare and early years learning in Ireland.
I've looked at examples. Both is what you're saying.
Yeah, and I've looked exactly, and I've looked at examples of New Zealand, Finland, Denmark, and I'm launching a consultation tomorrow where I'm inviting the parents of Ireland and educators to give their views in relation to this, and we'll publish a fully costed proposal in our manifesto. But the commitment I'm giving people today, that if I'm in the next government, if Fine Gael is in the next government, within the first 100 days of office, we'll publish a roadmap to show how we would deliver a public system of childcare and early years education by 2030.
One of the biggest issues facing the government, and indeed facing all political parties going forward, is migration. Lots of stuff has been said this week about the changes that are going to be brought into, I suppose, supports for asylum seekers, to an accommodation project management group being formed, many asks. How are you going to do all these things whilst maintaining social cohesion? Because isn't that the biggest risk here, that communities are pushing back, that protests are taking hold, that misinformation is circulating in a void, that we are dealing with the unravelling of support for migration in general? How are you going to tackle that aspect of it?
Well, being honest, the proposals that I'm making, I make to maintain social cohesion. Because, look, I've travelled around the country a lot and I've spoken to a lot of people. And I'm not talking here, let's just dismiss this bit. I'm not talking about the far right, the extremes. We can all call that out as what it is. I'm talking about good, decent people around the country who want to know what's the story with migration. Talk to me, explain.
So you now fully accept that there are people out there who are not the far right, who are not crackpots or malign actors, that they are ordinary people in communities and they have legitimate concerns about migration. That is now accepted by mainstream.
It's fully accepted and always has been by me. And my only upset is that it's been hijacked by people who steal our flag and assault our Gardaí. And the reality is we should always differentiate between people in communities who have legitimate questions and want to ask questions. And we should support them. What I'm saying to people, though, is this. I know the Irish people are both compassionate when it comes to migration. They know the benefits of migration. They see it in their hospitals. They see it in their shops. They see it right across our country. They see it in their schools today with their own children. But they also, Irish people also have another great trait, and it's called common sense. And when the migration policy doesn't pass that test, they're not very happy.
Okay.
And that's why when I became Taoiseach, we've taken a number of steps to try and inject common sense. And what I'm now saying is, I believe now is the time to say that if you are an asylum seeker in Ireland and have an income, now, I'm not talking about people who don't. If you have an income and a right to work, you should pay a contribution towards the services you receive.
Okay.
And I'd like to see government make that decision because I think that helps maintain social cohesion.
But are we looking at, because it seems from all the policies that we're seeing being introduced, a tightening of rules around migration, that we are moving in that direction of travel?
I think, to be honest, I think we're looking at a better application of the existing rules. I mean, there are already a lot of rules in place. And I think what people want to see is the rules enforced. They want to see if you have a right to be here, you get a quick yes, you get supported, you get integration, you play your contribution in Irish society, as many people do. And I'm grateful to them for doing it. If you don't have a right to be here, you get a quick no and you get asked to leave. And if you don't leave, we ensure you leave more quickly as well. So it's about having a fair, firm, rules-based system. We have made good progress on it. We need to continue. And politicians of the centre like me, can't get off the pitch here and allow this space to be occupied by the extremes.
Let's talk a little bit about the Apple tax before we even get into what you might do with that money. The judgment itself, reputational damage that we look like we do sweetheart deals, and indeed a negative impact on foreign direct investment. How concerned are you about this judgment?
Being honest, I don't think it's either, because this is a historical legacy case. So this relates back to kind of the revenue decisions of the 1990s. If we as a government, and when I say we as a government, I mean successive governments, hadn't actually taken this case and stood by foreign direct investment, I think we would have actually caused significant confusion in terms of a multinational locating here, wondering, would the country's government back the revenue?
So this judgment does damage our relationship with those companies that are responsible for that FDI?
No, I don't think so, because the point I was going to make is, because it's a historical legacy issue, the world has changed so much since then that we now have a very different rules-based system around global tax and the likes. Indeed, Pascal Donoghue has been to the fore of that at a global level. So a lot has happened in terms of changing rules around global tax in the years gone by. It was important to get finality on this matter. We now once and for all know the situation. And now there are both options and opportunities available to government in terms of what to do next.
Big article on the front of the Irish Times this morning stating that Apple warned the government only a month ago that there are significant threats to its presence here because of other countries attempting to lure companies like Apple away, saying our infrastructure is lacking, that there are delays on visas, and that pushback throughout the country really from lots of people on data centres.
Yeah, I think the article this morning, and while I don't speak for Apple, I think what the article this morning does show is that, you know, we can never be complacent when it comes to investment in our country. And I thought one of the things that was lost during the week in terms of all of the commentary around the ruling was the fact that there's 6,000 people this morning in Ireland that will get out of bed and go to work in Apple, that there are hundreds of thousands of people that work in multinational companies. And there's a lot of people in politics these days whose first obsession is how do you spend the money without actually making sure you continue to protect the investment in the country. So my focus, and I chaired a competitiveness summit last week in government buildings, we have to really, really, really address the fact that when it comes to infrastructure in Ireland, it takes too long to deliver some key projects. It takes far too long.
Right.
There's far too much bureaucracy and silos in a country that has a population around the size of Manchester. I want to see a new Department of Infrastructure set up that can bulldoze through those things. I want to see us using things like perhaps the return from the sale of bank shares to actually start investing in key infrastructure, including housing, water and energy. And I do think, and government will consider this in due course, I do think the fact that money will now be returned to the Exchequer from Apple does open up opportunities as to how we invest that in our infrastructure to keep investment coming.
And I would love to know how you would, but I'm under a certain amount of time constraint here this morning, Taoiseach. The election, you have said you are going to run full term with this government, and so I accept what you're saying. But if it happened that the other two leaders came to you, say this side of Christmas, say in October, and they wanted an election by agreement, would you do it?
I love this. I get asked the same question so many different ways every day, and fair play to you all for trying. Look, I mean, the reality is it's going to be an election. It's going to take place in the next short period of time. It has to take place by the 22nd of March. I was asked to run full term, gave that commitment. I'm happy to do that. Haven't had any indication that the other parties have changed their views.
I know, but you didn't actually answer my question, Taoiseach.
No, so the answer to the question genuinely is that my position hasn't changed. I'm preparing on the basis
and
of
if they came to
full
you?
Term. Of course, if the scenario around a majority in the Dáil changes, well, that changes the reality as well. Look, in politics,
so
events
if,
can happen.
So if Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan came to you and said, listen, this would suit us, why don't we just go for it? Post-budget, we've got the wind at our back, lads.
Well, firstly, I'd always be very careful about any political party presuming that they wind at their back, because, you know, elections, campaigns matter. But secondly, look, I take them at their words too. It was Micheál Martin and then Eamon Ryan who actually came to me and asked me to commit to this government running full term. I gave that commitment. I'm presuming they haven't changed their minds, and they certainly haven't given me any indication so far that they have.
I have a last question for you, Taoiseach. One of my kids has just turned 18. This will be the first general election he can vote in. He's 18 years of age. Why should he vote for Fine Gael?
He should vote for Fine Gael because we have the country in a position now where we can genuinely deliver for his future. Whereas, you know, if we were having this conversation 10 or 11 years ago, he was living in an Ireland where there was significant unemployment, where there were very few homes being built, where we were still talking about things like the IMF being in town. We now have a party that has helped steer our country through a number of crises, keep people safe during the COVID pandemic, get the economy back up and running. And now for his generation, We're significantly ramping up housing supply, supports for him to buy his own home, we're reducing the cost of him going to college. And despite those who talk down our country, this is a great country. And it's a country I think we can be proud of. And it's a country in which our best days are still ahead of us. And Fine Gael wants to be a part of that for him and his generation.
Taoiseach Simon Harris, thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.